Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Chakra Way Meditation Podcast. And today I have a guest with me, Michelle Rose Kennedy. And I don't even know where to begin with Michelle, because she has so many talents and so many things to offer us and educate us on. I feel like this could be a long one. Anyway, we'll see. Depends how much time you've got, Michelle. Michelle is a Reiki master. She is also an Akashic Records guide and an author. So welcome, Michelle. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, no, it's really fantastic to talk to you, because I feel like you have a really broad stride over so many things that I think I'm interested in, and therefore I'm assuming the audience are interested in as well. So the first, your sort of headline title, if you like, is Reiki Master. So let's start there.
Okay.
How did you, what drew you to this work, first of all, and how did you get into becoming a Reiki Master? Because that is no small feat.
It is not. And I'm going to give you an abridged version of like the origin story, but it started a long time ago. So when I've always been attracted to psychic phenomena and going to psychics and understanding that, and I always believed there were other lifetimes and there's more out there than just what we can see. When I was in college, across the way from the college was a, you know, wellness center that had Reiki, it had past life regressions, it had yoga, it had all kinds of stuff. I went to a past life regression, but I was like, ew, yoga and Reiki are so weird. I say it because I feel like seeds are planted in our life along our journey. And the journey is either a closed circle when we're more closed-minded, or an open spiral as we get more and more open-minded and open-hearted. So that was the first introduction. Then in yoga teacher training, which I ended up taking yoga, a class in a gym, and I said, I'm home. This is home. It felt like home. So
sounds so familiar.
That teacher said, you should be a yoga teacher. And I was like, no. And then I went into teacher training. And in teacher training, there was a person who was training to become a Reiki master. She wasn't there yet, but she was like, I was pregnant in teacher training, very pregnant toward the end. And she said, I want to gift you a session. So I did. And she said, your hands were on fire. You should be doing this. You're a healer. I said, can you train me? And she's like, no, I can't do that yet. I said, do you have any recommendations? And she basically didn't. So I just put it on a back burner and didn't think about it until my husband was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. He's okay, by the way. And our yoga teacher recommended he do Reiki. And she recommended a specific person. He did all his tests. He told her all the stuff. He did, I think, one or two sessions. And he did not want to do chemo. She said, you have to do chemo. So he calls up Sloan Kettering and said, okay, I'm ready to go. They said, well, you were supposed to be in this study. You're supposed to start chemo 2 weeks after you do all your tests. Now it's 3 weeks. We have to do the test over again.
Right.
He was going to be in a very, like a year, 6 months of chemo, then 6 months of radiation. It was a big thing. His main tumor was over 10 centimeters large. So think about when women dilate to give birth.
Yeah.
Second PET scan said it was well under 10. And so now he could be in a different study program. And literally they said to him, we must have got our measurements wrong. You're Sloan Kettering, you don't get your measurements wrong. Reiki's the only other thing he did. So yeah, and then he continued to do it through treatment, and it really helped him a lot. And I said to her, I need to learn this and I need you to be my teacher. And she said, I'm not teaching right now. I said, I'll wait. So I waited, I checked in with her every month to 2 months, 3 months, but kept at her. And she finally was like, okay, Michelle, I'm doing a class. And so, yeah, that was, again, that circle around two other times where I was, second time was almost ready, but not quite, because I didn't pursue it. Third time I was ready. So that's how I got into it. First class during the attunement, I saw gold writing on stone walls. And when she hit my hand with the Reiki symbols, I did not see Reiki symbols. I saw what I now know as light language, because we couldn't find it in any of the Reiki books. And about 2-3 years ago, I started channeling light language, but I was also seeing it drop down like the Matrix. And I was like, oh, that's the symbol. I finally know. But I was taught how to use it about 8 to 10 years ago, but I got it. I'm, you know, like, what is it now? 13 years ago. So yeah, it's probably about 8 or 9 years ago that I learned how to use it, but I held on to it for a couple of years because I didn't know what to do with it. Yeah. Drew it out. So yeah, that's how I got in. After the first training, all my doors opened to any psychic abilities I had. Literally, the Akashic records were just there for me. Never did a training on Akashic records, read a couple of books because I did not know that there was, I thought it was just Reiki. I didn't know it was something different. And when I had a very bizarre galactic spirit guide encounter, not even a spirit guide, it was the man's soul was an alien being. And I was really thrown off by it. So I reached out to my Reiki master and she said, that's Akashic records, Michelle. And you need to be careful with that. And I was like, and she was giving me like all this fear. And I was like, why is she doing that? She's the one who told us there's no fear in Reiki. Everything is safe. So I assured her that I was safe and that I was grounded and I was doing everything right. Excuse me. And took a deep dive into Akashic records to learn that I had been doing it all along. Before Reiki, I had a couple of glimpses of it. But yeah, that's for whoever's like not even waiting. It's almost like your soul's potential, something can happen and wake it up. And it can wake it up multiple times as you go, because you're finally ready to open that circle into a spiral.
Yeah, the different stages of being aware and open to these things. You know, you can have an awareness of it and then it just the right time, it just falls in at the right time. So I want, there's so much that you talked about there that I want to kind of just zero in on a little bit. So first of all, let's just go back to the nuts and bolts. So if somebody's coming to this fresh and new and they're going, what is she talking about? What are the Arcturus? What is, you know, the Akashic records? What is light language? You know, what even is Reiki? I've kind of heard of it. It's fairly common, but I don't really fully understand it. Can you give us a little idea? Because I mean, I have had Reiki and it has been incredibly helpful to me. It's very super relaxing. I go in, I lie in this lovely lady's place in our bed and cozy and warm, and she puts her crystals around me and then I just drift off into a sleep and I don't even know what she's up to. I just know that it feels good.
Yeah.
In the same way that I know, you know, I used to, when I first started doing yoga, I know that yoga was my thing. Like you, it was just like, oh, I've arrived home. I knew I loved it, but I didn't know why. it was making me feel so good, I just accepted it. So tell me a little bit about how Reiki works, like even if there's any kind of little bits of scientificness behind it, because I love getting into the, you know, the energy of things, and energy work is what I love. And I feel like we can always boil energy work down to some kind of quantum physics-y, energetic, vibrational thing, which actually is kind of tangible. So yeah, what, give us your breakdown of what is Reiki exactly for everybody.
Yeah. I feel like there's three parts to it, and I'm going to go way back to biology class, I don't know, ninth or 10th grade. There was a line that my strange biology teacher gave about the Big Bang. And, you know, this life, whatever, all this thing started, he goes, but where did that one thing start from? And to me, that's energy. So if we think of like black holes, dark space, birth of stars, right? Energy can't be seen, but now they're looking into like dark matter and you know, trying to study it, because I think that's basically that soul energy, that is kind of where we came from. We are all connected to stardust. We were all part of it. So I think that's where it starts. So yes, science to me is part of Reiki, even if we don't have all the scientific evidence for it yet. There is science to it, and they are doing more and more studies, and more doctors and hospitals are becoming open to it. So as your podcast is named The Chakra Way, I learned all about chakras in teacher training. And when I did my Reiki 1, 2, and 3 levels, we brushed over chakras, because chakras are not part of Reiki tradition. But to me, everything she was saying, I'm like, oh, these energy centers, it's all chakras.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the old yogis and the devas and we even go probably into Dead Sea Scrolls and understand that chakras and energy centers make sense with the physical and the scientific, because every chakra oversees an organ and a gland. And when Reiki happens, so before Reiki happens, we go through life, we are born, we're happy, we can sit up tall, everything about us is authentic, we laugh, we cry, we are connected to our emotions, and then life happens and starts weighing us down, and our shoulders roll in, and we start clenching our teeth and holding our tongue and holding and stuffing emotions. So when that happens, our spark, our divine light, our energy of the universe gets misshapen, misaligned, even blocked. So when Reiki happens, a Reiki practitioner channels the purest energy from, whether we want to call it divine or space or cosmic, channels this energy through them, through their heart center, out through their hands into you. No Reiki practitioner or master can make something happen. It's all about your soul's divine spark, cosmic energy saying, yes, I need this, and here's where I need it. And that Reiki practitioner is guided there, sometimes moving hands to that space because that energy needs to be amplified or cleared. And so the big picture of Reiki energy is that it clears away the imbalances and what's not authentically you, not aligned with your truth, and makes room for you to heal yourself and kind of re-evolve into your authentic self. So a lot of people feel very relaxed. A lot of people feel that weight lifted.
Yeah.
Because I or Reiki can't do all the work. You and your soul have to continue the healing. So it can clear you, it can align you. But if you go back to your old ways, which I have had clients who, like, as soon as we're done, they're like, oh, I feel great. And then they start negative talking. And I'm like, ah.
Because this is one of the things that I always have thought and say to people is that, you know, the work that you do on yourself, you can't, you whilst you need to have somebody to hold your hand, to guide you, to help you, it is work that you have to do. You can't just hand it over to somebody, like your car needs to be fixed. You just give it to somebody who knows what they're doing and they fix it and they give it back to you. That is not the way this works with energy. You have to keep this work present in yourself at all times, which is why having Reiki understanding your energetic body, understanding the chakras is so fundamental to your self-development, to develop. Oh God, why can't say this word at the moment. Development. Oh God, I was like this the other day. I couldn't even say it. So in which case, the next question is, so I get that. So such a beautiful description of Reiki. Thank you for that. So you're saying that when you started downloading or hearing or seeing, and I don't know what it is, how you would see it, the Akashic records as an Akashic guide. Tell me what those are, because this is something that really interests me. And I'm yet to find an explanation that I go, oh, okay, I get it. I know it's something to do with like all of your soul's lives, or I just think of a big library and go, okay, so how does that work?
So library becomes this thing that's really hard to wrap your head around. I think of it more like the cloud, right? We have all these things that we save in our cloud. Well, there's a cloud in the universe that holds each and every soul that exists, not even just on Earth, not just human, everything that exists. The history has been written. It has been saved to a cloud drive. And so when we access our own Akashic records, we are connecting with each and every person has a record keeper guide or guardian to keep your records in check and make sure nobody messes with them or like looks at them without permission. And then that can also connect us to our higher self, which to me, the highest self is the all the lifetimes we've ever lived, all aspects of our soul.
Maybe over soul, if you like.
Right, the like ever soul, yeah. That we, the life we're living now, we don't have our entire soul in our body. Our soul's too big for that. Our soul can be living multiple lifetimes at a time, or, you know, doing cosmic work, or if you believe in heaven, doing work on the other side in heaven of what's the next life going to be like, or I want to learn from this ascended master, spend time with them for, you know, for just my knowledge and other lifetimes ahead. So we're connecting with that as well at times. We're also connecting with our ancestral line, if that's relevant to a healing, and we can be connected to our karma and of past lifetimes and our life purpose here. Karma is not a negative. Karma is just, I did this in that lifetime, I want to do this in this lifetime. Or we have karma with the person and we're like, let's see if we could do it right this time or better or different.
Yeah.
So Akashic records, when I connect, and this is part of why my Reiki master was nervous, because she didn't want me to be astral traveling into the Akashic records, which has occasionally happened and it's more spontaneous, but it's okay, I'm always safe. When I'm consciously connecting, I ground very deeply, and that the deeper you go, the higher you can connect. And so my record keeper guide connects with the Akashic records, connects with your guard or guide, and allows the information that you need in order to heal, in order to reconnect with your life purpose, in order to understand your karma better, whatever it is. And I receive that information in pictures, in audio, in video sometimes, as well as sensation or just knowing. Like it's just downloaded into my head and I just know this. So yeah, that's how it works. And the way it works with Reiki is, and this is how it started. I always start my sessions with, if there's an issue and you don't really know where it started, I say, let's go back to the beginning where it all started. Mm-hmm. And it would drag me back into a past life.
Okay.
So we have to start there, because the harm, the imbalance, the block started back there.
Right.
And that karma of that event or death or whatever it is was carried over into this lifetime for some reason, whether you're trying to heal the karma, right? Like there's these little kids who are like, you know, mommy, I used to be, you know, a little girl, mommy, I used to be a boy and my mom's name used to be this. And that's where I died.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they know this because they came back to heal that karma. So yeah, we, and those, as the younger you are, the easier it is to connect and the less filters we have of like, no, I'm just imagining that.
Yeah. Yeah. The sort of the judgment and the, yeah.
Right. The reality is imagination is part of psychic connection, because when we imagine something, we're manifesting it into, you know, we're birthing it into the world in a thought.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a big part of us which can't, of our brain, that actually you have that imagination and you have that thought, or it thinks it's real. It can't really discern between reality and what your brain is saying or seeing, or, you know, imagining. So when you have an Akashic Records session, so if I was to have a session with you, you would, you know, you'd obviously gain my permission. And you would go up to my Akashic guides and you would basically download or feel into and know what it is that I need to know in this lifetime, in this moment, to help me move forward in my life. So it's really non-specific. It's just whatever is required in that moment that just comes through from the Akashic records.
Right. It's bigger than the moment, though. It's like, if you've been struggling, you know, let's say all last year, what's that struggle about, right? So it might be a whole big picture thing of like, well, you went through all these hardships, like just as an example, not necessarily you, but you went, because 2023 was a
tough,
really
year.
Heavy year. So you went through all these things so that you could be prepared for your leveling up this year, you know, but it could be more specific. That's a very general interpretation, but it could be specific about this happened for this and you're ready for blah blah blah.
So the other thing that you talked about then in your sort of introduction piece was about how when you took the record, when you had the Reiki signs placed in your palms, you saw them as light language. Now I have and you need to, if you want to, listeners, if you want to go back, listen to Natty Beats about light language. She talks about light language. So we don't need to go over exactly what light language is. But what I would love to know is, because I have pages where I've just been scribbling light language and it's just comes and it's, blah, 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 and I have no idea what it means. It feels good and I love it. But how do you interpret your light language? Because I know people like Natty can interpret it. You know, she can interpret Lemurian or Atlantic or dolphins, you know, like all of these extraordinary energies that come through. But for you, how does that light language come through in your work, and how do you interpret and use it?
Mm-hmm. Amazing question. I will say in the past, it would be what we would think of as a word, or it would be a symbol. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you with your writing out light language, it doesn't always have a translation, like a exact translation, because it's vibrational. So it can have a specific vibration now, but if you go thumb through your journal and you put your hand over to just gaze at it, you may get something else, because it's encoded, like it's almost like encrypted, and you have permissions as you go along and new things come from it. So when I channel light language, I will sometimes see it as the symbols. Most of the time it now is verbal, and I feel it through my spine, and my spine gets all tingly and lights up, and it's like pushing in, and then all of a sudden things are being said through me. And I can kind of interpret the general meaning of what it means at that very moment. But I also love to say, how did you feel first? Because they'll often tell me like, oh, you were singing that lullaby to me, but that's not how I interpreted it. So I'm like, that's what you needed in the moment. Here's the other stuff that came through in that as well. So yeah, it's multidimensional.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, we're veering off into like really out there territory for some, I know, but But, you know, as I said, you know, light language is this kind of energetic frequency that comes through that feels to me like there's more and more people who are going, oh, yeah, I know what that is. I think like mm-hmm. if you'd said to me or almost anybody, you know, well, not anybody, but, you know, very few people 10 years ago would go, oh, yeah, I know what light language is, or I've heard of light language. It feels like there's a really big sort of welling up of this kind of energy. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about just now, we touched on what a heavy year 2023 was. And I don't know about you, I'd be interested to hear, but I feel like 2024 has got a lot more power and energy to it. Is that your feeling as well?
Definitely. Definitely. And it's on a collective level as well as a personal individual level. Yeah. That, you know, the sessions in December were making it very clear that you're going to have a great year. You're going to have a great year. Like all these things, I have been receiving downloads for myself of expansion. Yeah. And feeling motivated to do it in the mm-hmm. space of 2023, I did not. But now feeling like motivated, I have the energy, I have the access to that power to do it. And it's going to be a very bright year.
Yeah, I hope so. I, you know, and I know that you're somewhat into numerology as well. I mean, how could you not be? But it being a number 8 year, it's got this sort of huge amount of kind of potential of power and that number 8 has. Am I right? Because I'm, you know, I dabble.
Abundance, sure. Yeah.
I merely dabble with the numerology, but I do love it. And it really does seem to resonate. I've started doing it alongside my chakra readings. You know, if I have a new client, I'll do the numerology as well. And it's blowing my mind. You know, it's not something I sort of broadcast widely, or I haven't up until just right now, but I do really, really love working with the numerology as well. And the other thing that I love working with is oracle cards. Now that's something else that you do as well. So talk to me a little about oracle cards, because I feel like this is something that's really accessible. Everybody can go into a, you know, a nice shop that sells crystals or what have you, and buy a pack of oracle cards.
Yes. Yes. You know, I think I've taken 2 tarot card classes. None of it was retained. I'm still looking through the book. I said, there's got to be an easier way, and got oracle cards. And I literally have done like Instagram lives and had oracle card readings on the fly, mm-hmm. and pull one card for this person, read what it says on the card, and then interpret it to what it means for them. I literally gained 2 clients out of it, because a husband and wife happened to be on that Instagram live, and she said, "You were right on for my husband. You just blew his mind. And we both want to make sessions." Wow. So, you know, I use them at the end of my sessions, because here's what I do before I pull a card. I'm like, let me pull some cards. If there's anything I missed that your spirit guides have a message about, let's see what they have to say. Or if they want to, sometimes they just want to reinforce what I already said. Yeah. And that's pretty like in your face. I also have this thing where I'm not laying out the cards in a particular way. Mm-hmm. I take as many cards until I get what I call the mic drop card.
Yeah.
The card that's like, oh, there you go. Now that's so you really needed to know.
Yeah. No, I only have 1 deck so far, and I feel that the collection is definitely going to grow, but they're goddess cards. So you become, you know, you choose and a goddess comes out, and the goddesses have such power for me anyway. And, you know, these ancient goddesses from all different world mythologies, you know, they all tap into this energy, which I love. So we've talked about the Reiki master, the Akashic Records guide, and I would love to also talk to you. So we've gone into talking about the light language and all of that sort of thing, but I feel like and this shift that there is happening at the moment. You know, this is going out in maybe March of 24. So we're already a little bit of way into 2024. But it feels as though this new energy is really kind of growing. And there's a lot of talk about 3D towards 5D as well, which I know is something else that you can talk to. So can you just explain, because this is going to be something that people who are kind of interested in this stuff will maybe have heard about, but not know what the hell's going on. You know, I've got a 3D printer. What? No, 5D?
Yeah. I'm so glad you asked, because I actually wanted to touch on that. I'm sorry, I can't name the person, but I saw a video and literally this guy was going like this and he said, 2024, you know, 3D and 5D start splitting. That basically we are going to start to see and feel a distinct difference in the energy.
Yeah.
And I think a lot, I want to say possibly millions of people awakened over the pandemic and the great pause and the shutdown. And like you said about light language, that's when a lot of people got turned on to light language. It just awakened in them. And that's when it happened for me too. But it didn't like vocally travel through me until 2021 or 2020. Yeah, 2021, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so as we raise our vibration, and there are always cycles of new people awakening, so nobody has to be scared that they won't. If you're listening to this podcast, you either are or you're on your way. As you awaken, you're not living in just your seven body chakras anymore. Your chakras above and your chakras below are being activated. And as those activate, particularly the ones up, but also down, but you have to go down in order to go up. Sorry, I said that before, but yes. Then you start connecting to your 5D because you believe, you have faith, you trust in your spirit guides, in the energy coming through, in that this is not me going crazy. This is something happened to me energetically.
Yeah.
And some people, you know, may sit there and start to see colors around trees or around people and read auras of things. They may feel like the trees are talking to them. They may get, I literally got a message from a friend who passed away last night. I was looking at something and I don't even remember asking a question, but he, in my ear, he like nudged me and went, yep. And I went, what? And then I looked at what I was reading and I'm like, oh, okay. And I will go forward with that because I just got that validation. But I trust my spirit guides and my loved ones on the other side so deeply, they all have my back.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel when something's out of vibration and send it away. But when they're mine and I know, I trust and I lean into that. Yeah. And that will help you or anyone else kind of connect to and go with this 5D vibration.
Okay.
From what I have heard, and most people in this energy work and awakening field want to say they know exactly what's going to happen, but something's going to happen in 2032.
Yes.
And I believe that if you're more connected with the 5D, you're going to be fine, and you're helping others awaken on the way to 2023. And you will be very important to the future past 2032. Our 2023 was horrible, but our 2032 is going to be, who knows?
Funny, isn't it?
Yes.
So listen, we have to, I would be very remiss not to talk to you about these new or different higher and lower chakras. So everybody who has, you know, been listening to this for a while will know that I work on the seven chakra basis. However, I am fully aware of that, that earth star chakra. I'm fully aware that there's galactic and but you're, is it a 15 chakra system that you're talking about, or is it less?
So there are, as of right now, I mean, I think that there are more, but yes, I started with 12 chakras and downloading information about them, probably in 2020, end of 2020, early 2021, somewhere around there. then 15 chakras in like the end of 2021 into 22. But they go even beyond that. But those are the ones, I believe it's 15 is the one that's like 5D.
Okay, so talk me through them. Give me some descriptions of location and symbolism and what they hold. Let's start with the lower ones underneath us. And then
so I don't know if I can name them off the top of my head.
Don't worry about
pardon that pun. But we have Earth. Earth star is below the feet, under the ground, you know, about 12 to 18 inches below the Earth. And that holds all of our soul blueprint, all the reasons we came here, all the karma we need to deal with. So this one, when I connect to the Akashic records, this is part of what I connect to. Your intentional life purpose here, and as well as maybe subliminal life purpose that you have no idea yet because it hasn't, you haven't gotten there yet. So that's that part, and that part, do I say? Yeah, I'm not going to get into the ascended masters that watch over them. It's too much. We don't have that kind of time. Then we go up to, we have the causal chakra. So the causal chakra is like a filter, or some people say it's like a chalice that holds the top, holds all this information, and then it drips down through the bottom as you're ready. Above the causal is the soul star. So the soul star is, we're going to download this into your causal chakra, but it won't be, if we're talking like computer talk, it won't be installed until you're ready.
Okay.
So you know how you do that with the updates? Like you sometimes download, but the install is going to take too long. So you're like, I'll wait. So it just kind of waits there until you're ready. Now it may trickle in slowly, or it may be like a bam kind of wake up moment.
Yeah.
And then it goes kind of below, above, below, above, and they kind of harmonize with each other. That below we get into connecting to literally dolphin energy and whale energy. We can go all the way there. But as we get past the body, it gets very blurred lines between earth and cosmic. Yeah. They're all connected.
Yes.
And in my opinion, in the downloads I've gotten, the dolphins and the whales are connected to different galactic planets where many souls have either lived a life or have spent time educating their soul, generally for this lifetime. There's a lot of learning that we did for this lifetime, because Earth awakening and transforming is huge. And it has been a plan for hundreds of thousands of years. So a lot of us that consider ourselves light workers or star seeds have done a lot of education in lifetimes as well as on other planets. So that dolphin whale goes to that. And then we go up into the monadic chakra, which is when we connect to our spirit guides and higher self.
Mm.
So that's one of the very high ones. I believe that's 12. And then beyond there is connecting to like the, to source, basically.
Like, I mean, these are all ones that could be kind of almost squished into, and they are in the traditional sense, kind of squished into the crown chakra, sitting out here, taking all of the responsibility for self connection with source, connection with past, with future, with, you know, all of the other energy that is out. Is this, it for me, it's connection, and what you talk to for that is just literally is, I feel like for me, as you're describing that, it's kind of like a crown chakra that goes up like a very, very tall hat with lots of stripes in it, lots of layers, which are all kind of interweaving and coming down, but they're all kind of in that hat of the crown chakra. But I think that's so optimistic, actually. I find that's really optimistic, and I love that. And this connection with spirit guide, this is something that I have been interested in and searching for, if I'm honest with you, for like well over a year now, where I'm like, I know that I have spirit guides. I know that I'm personally like really intuitive. I can do these readings. When I'm teaching, it's just like I'm channeling whatever it is that's happening. You know, I'll plan a class and then something completely different will happen. And I'll just do a meditation that's just like, don't know where that came from. So I know that this kind of flow state, this channel state kind of comes to me. But I get very, and I'll be honest here, and this is showing my fallibility and my weaknesses, I get jealous of people who go, oh yeah, my spirit guides told me this and told me that. I'm like, I want to have a spirit guide who's just going to drop in my ear and tell me some good stuff or tell me something interesting. I don't know. So for those of us who are searching for our spirit guides and wanting to connect deeper, what is your advice?
Oh my gosh, I have such a great answer for that. So we talked about, you know, source, and we think of divine masculine or God, you know, or Jesus, whatever you want to call, right? And going all the way down into the earth's core is basically divine mother or mother nature, whatever we want to call her, right? So we have to connect with that part of ourselves. And even though the chakra's out of the body, it's our energy field, it's our soul. So we have to connect with her first, because that's where we find the compassion and the nurturing and the faith that we can accept whatever wisdom is coming from that big picture, okay, as well as our spirit guides. And a lot of people struggle with this. I actually have a repeating workshop for meeting your spirit guides, because it's hard. It doesn't always have to be visual. It could be heard, it can be felt,
yeah,
and just be known. So some people have felt like a presence, right? And other people get those messages from them, and some have seen. I have seen some of my spirit guides. Some of them, I don't know what they look like, but I know they're there. So yeah, it can be a lot of that. And when we connect to those higher chakras, we have more access to them. So if we're meditating, if we clear and balance our chakras, whenever you do your seven in your body, you're hitting those other ones below and above.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect time when your chakras in full alignment and you start meditating, or you're already in a meditative state, to ask your spirit guides to let themselves be known. That's the phrase that I use when I work on somebody, or I work with myself and I feel somebody, but I'm not sure who it is. I say, let yourself be known. Show yourself to me, say something, however you want to be known, let yourself be known.
Yeah. Beautiful. That's a really very useful, that's a perfect guide to connecting. And I think I will add a little addendum to that, to just go, which is, don't do what I, you know, because none of us perfect. Don't do what I do, which is kind of get impatient. Actually, just trusting, because the impatience is kind of resistance in itself, and actually trusting that it's probably already happening, but you're just not consciously aware of it. You're not kind of going, oh, that's that. It's just something that's coming through you, that's telling you, that feels right, that feels good, that you know innately. And I feel that is, you know, while some people have these very kind of very blatant messages come through, it's not the same for everybody. And if this is kind of work that you want to get into, then gosh, Michelle, you do know your stuff. Are you like, you're really connected? I just love it. I love it. And is your husband's, does he still do Reiki? I'm so glad that he is well and so on. But is he a practitioner like yourself, or is
he is not. He went to level two and felt like he would rather receive than do. But yeah, I mean, he's healthy. He's, you know, oh my gosh. Next month will be 18 years clear.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. So, but I wanted to touch on something that you said, about, you know, getting stuck in that, you know, kind of when is it going to happen, or trying to be conscious.
Yeah.
I am a very big fan of Star Wars, and with doing this work, it all puzzle pieced together for me. And Yoda's line, there is no try, only do. So when we try to connect, we're not going to connect.
Yeah.
We have to put that big, you know, mask on our face and feel the force. We have to feel the energy, and we have to trust it. And whatever it is, whether it's feel, hear, see, and lean into that. Because I believe each and every one of us has a, what I like to call clair. So you have clairvoyance, where you see, clairaudience, where you hear, claircognizance, when you just know things. And I think a lot of us can relate to that one. Clairsentience, when you feel something, like people that get the goosebumps and the tingles in their body. There's also the smaller ones that most people don't even realize, but clairalience and clairgustance. Clairalience is when you smell things, like you smell a loved one who has passed away and you know it's them. Clairgustance is when there's a taste in your mouth, which has happened to me in sessions. Like I can taste someone's past chemo treatment. I'm like, my mouth is all metallic. Did you have cancer? And they're like, oh yeah. So we can have these different things that come through our physical senses from our extra senses.
Now I have, you know, I recognize that in, you know, in people I've talked to, people I've worked with, and in myself, that there are so many different ways to receive this intelligence and this knowledge. And you're right. And, you know, and I come back to this time and time again, whenever I talk to an energy worker, the chakras always underlie everything.
Yes.
They're just there as your map. They're just your blueprint on which top. You can layer so many different things on top of it, but the chakras always, always there. So, it's fascinating. And it's really interesting to, I just wanted to, yeah, I mean, I'm, that having talked to you, I'm like, I want to go back and have another Reiki session, because it's been a while since I went back. But when you go, when a person, you, listener, whatever, come and go, actually, I quite like to do a Reiki. I quite like to try that out. I've listened to Michelle talk about it. It sounds amazing. It sounds like a real step on my healing journey. How do you find somebody that you don't just come away going, oh, it's just lay on a couch and paid $60 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, I've just had a lie down for 40 minutes and I don't feel anything. Like yeah. That is what I have heard from other people. Luckily I haven't experienced that, because I've been to a really nice Reiki lady. But how do we avoid that side of things? Because I don't want people to go away thinking, I'm going to have a Reiki session, it's going to change my life. And they go there and they're just like, I just fell asleep. It was just nothing. And I don't know what. How do they? Yeah.
So I actually have that on a frequently asked question on my site, because it's an important thing. Research who you want to go to. It doesn't have to be in person. It can be remote. Remote energy is amazing. I've been doing it since well before the pandemic. But and I see people all over the world. Energy goes where it needs to go. Yeah. But when you're researching and finding your Reiki practitioner, check in with them, talk to them. I think talk to them on the phone. I know we're in a world of text, but talk to them on the phone so you can get a feel for their vibration and if it fits with you, or if you feel icky, don't do it. Mm. Ask every single person you talk to that practices Reiki, do you work on yourself? What's your self-care practice? Because if they're not working on themselves regularly, they can't be the best open channel and clear channel for you. It's a really important thing.
Okay.
You know, you can even ask them, how do they stay grounded, is a great question as well, which that one's not on my website. But that's a good one too, because if they're all up here all the time, then they lose clarity.
Yeah.
And become... it becomes ego, because up here is a little more masculine and it becomes very ego, and they think that they're saying everything exactly right. And a lot of the messages are up to interpretation. Like I will say, if I'm saying something, this may mean something different to you, or this is how it came through for me. This may evolve and develop as over the days and over the weeks into something else. Or I'll say potentially this. Like I'm very, when I know it's matter of fact, I'll be very matter of fact. But if it's not, I will always give this, like, here's what it could be. And, you know, and I'm very like, I love my clients and I'm like, check in with me. Let me know how it goes. Like, let me know what it develops into. I'd love to hear about it because we're all connected.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. Because when you say that, that really resonates with me. And the chakra readings that I do with a pendulum, I do them remotely like you do. And, you know, something will come up, something will show up and I'll go, well, this is what it said. You know, what does that sound like to you? Because it could be something recent, could be an energy that they picked up yesterday or this morning. It could be something that has been around for ancestral history times. And it could be that an imbalance showing is, or a blockage could be an overactive as an unimpedent. So yes, it's all about the interpretation. You're absolutely right. And it's all about talking and listening. Michelle, it's been so fantastic talking to you. I feel like I've taken up enough of your time now. It has been a long one, but I think it's been so juicy and so big. So Michelle, tell people how to find you. First thing I will say is that people need to search Michelle Rose Kennedy because there are a lot of Rose Kennedy, Michelle Kennedys out there. So how do people find you?
Before we go there, and I'll be brief. You asked about your spirit guides, and both of us have had little fairy spirits flittering around throughout the session. So you do have a fairy spirit guide. I don't know if you believe in fairies, but I like to say elemental energy is real. It's not necessarily that we see them physically and they may not exist in that way for us, but you definitely have a fairy guide that was flitting around you and wanted to be known. So I will let you know that. How to find me? MyReikiHealer.com. It's Reiki is spelled R-E-I-K-I. It's not easy to figure that out, but MyReikiHealer.com is my website. Instagram is an amazing place to reach me, and I have a lot of videos that you can look and learn things for free. And that's at MyReikiHealer. And you can talk to me on there. You can text me. There's a, you know, link on the website to text me or to email me or to just book a session or book a consultation and talk to me and see if you like me. And we can, you know, if you're out of the country and you want to talk to me, if this wasn't enough and you want to talk to me first, then that's fine too. And we can work that on a Zoom or something like that or WhatsApp. But yeah, so those are probably the main places to find me. I'm also on Facebook at My Reiki Healer and TikTok. But my big one that I'm on often daily is Instagram. Fabulous. For social media.
And then also I introduced you as not only a Reiki master and Akashic Records guide, but also an author. So what's your book? Just tell me briefly about your book.
Sure. My book is Hold Space, Affirmations and Meditations for Healing and Loving Yourself. And it was a book. I wanted to write a book of affirmations. Many of my clients who have trauma, because Akashic Records work brilliantly with trauma, because we can go back to those events very gently and start the healing. So I would give these clients who were seeing me fairly often, but still needed to do something in between to carry them through to the next session. So I would during the session channel an affirmation for them. And I would write it out and I made a little like a pretty background and send it to them and they can save it on their screen or something like that. And then we would do it. The ones who did it, it was so impactful. And then there were some that were channeled that I was like, if I take out this line, it's very general and many people could benefit from this. So I started putting it on Instagram. And then I was like, this could be a book. But when it came, when everything happened at the shutdown, all my guides were like, you have no excuse now.
Yeah.
So I started to put these affirmations together. And then I was like, oh, they need like an intro. They need a little thing. So it became like these chapters of information and then the affirmation. And then there were meditations that had to come through. And I was like, okay. And it just became much bigger. So it became a whole book. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of chakras. I don't know if you just saw that one go by. There are a lot of chakra explanations in the book as well. There are the meditations. I made audios for the meditation, and those are available for download if you, you know, email me or reach out to me after you buy your book, because I don't like reading meditations. You want to hear it if to do it. So It goes through a lot of stuff. It starts out easy and then gets into harder stuff like trauma or mommy issues or daddy issues and stuff like that. Just it can be raw, but it's a good tool for a healing journey.
Yeah, and sounds extraordinary.
And raising your vibration to 5D too, really, because you have to drop the junk.
Yeah, and you have to do that daily work, that work that is work, that is the best work, the most fulfilling work, the most heart-opening, energetic, energy rising, raising work that you can do. And the simplest way of doing that actually is daily affirmations, meditations. So, well, thank you for sharing about that book. It sounds really beautiful. And I will put a link to all of this stuff in the bottom, in the show notes today. Mm-hmm. So you can find an easy click link. So, thank you, Michelle. It's been an absolute joy and a pleasure to talk to you today.
Same, Roseanne. Thank you.
Thank you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.